North Shore 104.9 WBOQ Gloucester. And streaming worldwide on the North Shore 104.9 app.
The following paid program does not represent the views of North Shore 104.9. Welcome to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial. This morning during the program, your host, Mark Friedman, may discuss specific financial planning and investment ideas. These discussions are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations. Financial planning and investment advice is offered through Friedman Financial, an SEC-registered investment advisor located in Peabody, Massachusetts. Securities are offered through LPL Financial, a member of FINRA and SIPC. Friedman Financial is a separate entity from LPL Financial. Investing involves risk, including loss of principal. Always consult a certified financial planner professional, qualified attorney, or tax advisor prior to investing to determine what is appropriate for you.
Listeners to this radio show should consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of the investment company carefully before investing. The prospectus contains this and other information about the mutual fund, variable annuity, and variable annuity subaccounts. To obtain a prospectus, you may contact Friedman Financial or your financial advisor. Prospectuses should be read carefully before making a potential investment.
And now, here's the host of Dollars and Cents, Mark Friedman of Friedman Financial.
Good morning and welcome to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. My name is Mark Friedman. I'm president and CEO of Friedman Financial, located in Peabody, Massachusetts, just above Alto Forno Restaurant and just across the street from the North Shore Mall. Hope you're all doing well. Hope you've got the bulk of your Christmas and holiday shopping done. Tonight starts the first evening of Hanukkah. I'm hoping I got all my stuff done. I was actually, as I drove in this morning, I realized, oh man, it's the first night of Hanukkah. So we'll take care of that. And the kids are home. Hope your kids are home. If they were in college, perhaps they've come back for the next couple weeks enjoying time with the family. It creates a little bit of chaos. All of a sudden, I'm realizing that my kids are beginning to realize that, oh my goodness, the world just doesn't revolve around them anymore. And they do not get to do everything they want to do, unlike what they get to do at college. I mean, you just can't leave the dishes out. You got to put the seat down, Jerry. Even, you know, what's the funniest thing is, so my son, Jerry, he has the propensity for not putting the seat down. And so we put labels under the seat, sticky labels. You know, when you lift up the seat, it now says, put the seat down, Jerry, on every toilet in the house. Apparently he saw that before the summer, but seems to have forgotten about it now that he's back home. So we have to remind him of that. But it's nice to have him back home. Nice to have Alana back from URI. Mindy will make her visits to the house periodically. She's living in Somerville in an apartment, living on her own. The boys are junior and senior. Noah is anxiously waiting to hear from various colleges to find out where he might be going in the fall. And Corey is a junior and getting ready to take his SATs and all that other kind of stuff. But he is absolutely the easiest kid to buy presents for Hanukkah, because he would be very happy with chapstick. Really. I mean, he doesn't take much. He says that, you know, get me a t-shirt with SpongeBob on it or something. But after that, you know, when the kids get older, it is a lot tougher. And when they say they want something, it's generally more expensive than you might have thought you wanted to spend. But hey, you know, they're going to get it anyway, so you might as well give it to them, especially if you have the resources. Just be careful. Just be careful, folks, about building up that money on your credit card and then thinking, well, I'll pay for it later. Just because something's on sale or something that you put it on the credit card because you can't seem to afford it now, you've got to give yourself the discipline to pay that off almost immediately. That the interest costs on credit cards are absolutely insane. I mean, think about it. If you put $1,000 in your credit card and your credit card bill, your credit card company charges, let's say, 18 to 20%. Just use 20% for a number. That means at the end of the year, if you don't pay your credit card, that $1,000 bill off, it's now costing you $1,200, an extra $200. That's just crazy. I mean, maybe you bought something on sale, but did you really buy it on sale if you were willing to pay all of that credit card cost? If you're building up money in cash and you find that you have a little bit more, I know there's that temptation to say, I want to put some of that money aside for my future and invest it. It may be a better opportunity to pay down credit card bills if you've begun to accumulate them. I know it's not the most exciting stuff to do, but sometimes we have a responsibility of being rational and prudent. And frankly, that's my job here, is to provide you with financial advice in a language you can understand. So, you know, we are hitting the end of the year. Perhaps you've already started your vacation. I know many of the kids in the high school, their vacation started on Friday, and they're gone for almost 2 weeks because of the way that the Christmas and the New Year holiday lined up. But perhaps you have a few week or a week or two left at work. You've got some holiday parties coming up. Perhaps you're waiting to see what your bonus might be from your employer. But perhaps there's some year-end planning that you can do as you head towards the end of the year. One of the things that I'd encourage you to look at is to take a peek at how much you've put into your 401k this year. There are limitations, of course, to what you can put in. But depending upon your age, depending upon what you've put in, check the amounts that you've put in. Because if you can get to that maximum limit of what you can put into your IRA, maybe you want to allocate a part of your bonus. Maybe you want to accelerate some of the contributions to your 401k. It's a great opportunity to do so. But it's also a great time to sit down and take a look at the overall portfolio of your 401k. Look, in 2019, the markets have done extraordinarily well. And if you've been adding money to your account and you've been invested, frankly, whether it's been in the stock market or the bond market, you've probably done really well this year. Take a look to say, does this allocation reflect the allocation that I really think is appropriate for me? Maybe you started with, I don't know, 70 or 80% of your money in the stock market and 20% in the bond market. But now because of growth in the accounts, because of contributions to the plan, maybe you're 90-10. And yeah, the market's sitting here at an all-time high, but you know as well as I do that there will be adjustments. There will be times for the market to correct itself. Maybe it might make sense to take some of those profits, take some of those dollars that you've made and reallocate yourself back from 90-10 to 80-20 or from 80-20 to 70-30 or further down, whatever is appropriate for you. That's called rebalancing, and that's called being a disciplined, rational investor. Not looking at the report that says, oh my goodness, one of the funds that I have is up 32% for the year. Maybe I should add more money to it. Wrong strategy as far as I'm concerned. Wrong strategy. You want to be readjusting yourself. You want to be rebalancing back. Take some of those gains. Take that growth. I know you might think, well, it hurts to take some of that growth away. Well, you know, that's just because that fund is up 32% for the year, it could be down 30% just as quickly. Really, it does that. I know we've kind of become numb to the fact that the markets seem to only want to go in one direction. But folks, this is going to change. Markets go up and they go down. And the likelihood of us seeing a 10% pullback is not only likely, but it is expected. It's not possible. It is expected. Because typically, in any given year, markets have pullbacks of 10%. Now, sometimes they don't last that long. Sometimes they last a couple of years. And then there's the possibility that the market could take an even fuller pullback. I mean, no one knows what the election will breed next year. We're into a campaign cycle that has a lot of people throwing their names in the hat now, all sorts of bitter warfare, verbal attacks, whatever it might be, and it's going to get nasty. Not only will it get nasty on television, but it's going to get nasty once again in your social media feed. You're going to lose friends on Facebook. You're going to be ticked off by some of the postings people put on Instagram and Twitter. Most of them will be just gut reactions that someone will say, not very thoughtful, not much depth behind it. And even those that look like they have some depth behind it, chances are there is an opposing perspective that's probably just as rational, but you're only willing to look at one side. And if there's one New Year's resolution that I would ask of all of us, is the resolution of tolerance. A resolution that says, you know what, maybe I'm not going to buy into the visceral responses that so many of my friends have about whether it's a political landscape, the economic landscape, the political correctness landscape, whatever it might be. Let's just kind of relax a little bit. Let's just kind of just say, huh, that's kind of interesting. In fact, my son Noah said that to me a couple months ago when he was battling with his brother. He decided that when he didn't like what his brother was saying, rather than jab back at him, he just went, huh, that's interesting. And that was it. Rather than create something that was crazy or irrational or blowing something up, he just let that sit there and said, huh, that's interesting. Meaning, that it's interesting, but also saying, oh, maybe that's something that I need to think a little bit more about. Maybe it's something I need to reflect on, but I'm not going to jump and react to it based upon the words that you chose. And I think one of the things that we have done this year is we have scrutinized words that people use. And sometimes the word and the intent are two different things. Sometimes when you see something that is written in word is different from the way it was conveyed, I should say, when somebody actually said it. You could say, hi, how you doing? Or someone could say, hi, how are you? Or hi, how you doing? You can say it a lot of different ways. But the way you read it and the way we say it and the way we interpret it, all different things. And social media has put us in a position to start to react to a lot of stuff. And as you well know, we can do a lot with video technology, which the way we convey messages using lighting. Lighting can create an array of different feelings and emotions, right? All that kind of stuff. There's makeup, and there's this thing called a deep fake. I don't know if you've heard that term lately. Deep fake means sometimes you can see someone speaking on a video, but it's really not them speaking. They've somehow created some video morphing that takes their lips to make it look like they're saying something that they're not. We're going to see a lot more of that. It's called a deep fake. And we have to be very careful about that. Seniors are getting scammed because of something that they read and they see, and they worry about this. It's pretty scary out there, folks. We have to be a little bit more rational and less reactional. It's important. That's what I call financial advice in a language you can understand. When we get back, I want to talk about some year-end tax planning checklists and also talk about a new retirement ruling that's just going to be passed through Congress. It's coming to you, and it's going to impact every single one of us. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.
I need a dollar, dollar.
Planning for retirement and managing your investments has never been more difficult. Chances are you're trying, but worried you may make a misstep. Friedman Financial is all about getting your financial house in order and providing financial advice in a language you can understand. Their interactive software and in-person conversations will help you determine if you're on track. For more than 50 years, Friedman Financial has delivered independent advice. If now's the time to get serious about life and retirement, visit Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com.
Securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advice offered through Friedman Financial, a registered investment advisor and separate entity from LPL Financial.
If I had $1 million.
Welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. My name is Mark Friedman, president and CEO of Friedman Financial, located at just above Alto Forno Restaurant in Peabody at 41 Cross Street and just across the street from the North Shore Mall. If now is the time for you to say, you know what, my New Year's resolution for this year is to get my financial house in order, to get serious about my financial planning, or perhaps get the information that I need so that I can make some smart decisions when it comes time to retire, perhaps we're the firm for you. Give our office a call, 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. We're not doing any new appointments between now and the end of the year. We've got a lot of year-end cleanup and things to take care of course. We got to take care of our existing clients first, but we are back open for new appointments starting in January. If you'd like to schedule some time and get on our calendar, give our office a call, 978-531-8108. You can certainly call the office, ask my assistant Jody to send you an information kit. It's a really nice kit that we send out. It tells you how to prepare for a meeting, what to expect in your first meeting. I think that's one thing that most people are a little intimidated by. They think to themselves, all right, if I schedule this meeting, what are they going to be asking me for? What is going to be going on? What do I need to do? I think you'll find our kit extraordinarily helpful. It's worth asking for it. I'm happy to mail it to you. You can also, if you don't want to call the office, you don't want to have something mailed, you can actually go to our website, friedmanfinancial.com. That's Friedman, as you know, two E's and a D, financial.com. At the bottom, at the top of the website, there's those little tabs. You know, every website has tabs. And one of them talks about something like new client information, I think it's called. And if you click on that tab, you'll be able to pull up, it almost looks like a little PowerPoint presentation that talks about getting to know Friedman Financial. And you'll get to know who we are, how we work, how we serve our clients, what to expect in an initial meeting, what to expect in the way we invest your money, or how we help you invest your money, what you should expect from financial planning, what you should expect from ongoing service and resources that we provide to you. Everything is spelled out for you. We even post our fee schedule on there. Everything is there for your viewing. I don't want to hide anything. But the most important thing is if you think that perhaps you're a candidate to talk with us, give us a call. Let's get together. Let's talk for a bit. I'm happy to talk with you over the phone for a little while to see whether you'd be a good fit for an initial consultation. We have you come in and we take it from there. Look, I've been doing this a long time. I want you to succeed. I want you to make the most of your retirement. And if it means me giving an hour of my time and you sharing an hour of your time for us to get to know one another, and if it doesn't pan out to anything, maybe I give you a few pieces of advice, I'm good with that, and it's going to cost you nothing. If you say, you know what, I need this on a longer-term basis. I really want to build a relationship with someone. If it makes sense, if we're a good fit, we'd love to work with you. This is a no-risk opportunity for you. One of the things that many people have said to me when they come for a second or third review meeting, you know, it's the year two, year three, year four, they say, Mark, unlike the relationships I've had with other financial advisors, I find it interesting that our review meetings are a little bit different. You're not proposing another investment strategy. You're not proposing big changes to my accounts. But instead, you're preparing me by sending a copy of what you have on file as my net worth statement that reflects where we were last year to see how we've changed and how we've grown over the past year. You see, one of the things that I find that's really interesting, a lot of people focus on, well, this fund did well, or this stock did well, or this asset class did well, or this one did poorly. And many people focus on that. What do we do? How are we doing compared to the indexes? What's the investment cost of a lot of things? I say, hold on a second. Yeah, all that stuff's important. We want to make sure that you've got the right portfolio. But let's make sure we understand your net worth. Let's make sure we understand where everything is and what everything is worth. What do you have in the bank? What credit card bills? What loans might you have? What annuities do you own? What 401k might you have? Where other retirement accounts exist? Are you getting gifts from your parents? Are you expecting an inheritance? What's the tax withholdings on your pay stub? What's your life insurance, automobile, homeowners insurance? What does all of that look like? Mortgages, all of those pieces. You see, when you have someone that understands the big picture of your financial life, you can truly get fiduciary-driven advice. When I say fiduciary-driven advice, I mean fiduciary means placing your interests first. How can I place your interests first if I don't know everything about your financial situation? If you're just willing to say, hey, can you give me some advice on how to reallocate my 401k? I can do that, but don't expect me to be a fiduciary there. I can't, because I don't know how it impacts everything else in your life. I can still give you suitable investment strategies based upon what I hear from your recollection or your understanding of your story. But until I understand the big picture of your financial life, I can't be a fiduciary. And I think that's a word that is oftentimes overused by a lot of advisors and planners that are out there. They say, sure, we're a fiduciary. How can you be a fiduciary if you truly don't know where everything is and what everything is worth in your client's life? That's what we do. 450 households that we serve at Friedman Financial. Some of them are several generations. We have over $400 million that we manage for our clients. So you can do the math yourself. I mean, if you look at what the average household investment assets are with my office, it's around $800,000. Don't get me wrong, that's a big number, and that is not a fit for everybody. But if you have investable assets in excess of $500,000, we may be a company worth talking to, especially if you're approaching retirement or if you're in retirement and you're trying to figure out, how do I use the resources that exist to create an income stream to support my life and give me the confidence that I won't run out of money and that perhaps I could leave a legacy to my children. You know, it's interesting. Last week I was in Atlanta and I was with a different financial planning company at a conference, and they were asking how we talk to our clients about charitable giving. And I thought it was interesting. Now, remember, I'm in Georgia. different part of the world, right? So I said to them, I said, actually, it wasn't until about 15, maybe 18 years ago that I heard the term tithing for the first time. Tithing, T-I-H-E, or tithe. Tithing is T-I-H-I-N-G, I believe. So for some, you understand that tithing is an expression of charitable contribution where you take a percentage of your pay and assure that your religious organization, your church, your temple, whatever, is going to get a percent of your gross pay. In fact, down in the South, it's traditional that you allocate 10% of your gross earnings to your church. And in addition, in your will, in your legacy, that a significant percentage of your assets are left to a charitable entity. And I was explaining to this person that, well, at least the way we see it with our clients and what happens with many is that some people believe they're charitably inclined here because they might give to a cancer walk, or they give $100 here or $25 here. They help out with a GoFundMe page. They help out with this and they do that. But at the end of the day, the total amount of money that they're giving to all of the charities is generally 1, maybe 2% of their gross income. And they think of it as a lot, but it's a lot of little checks. And it's not a major commitment to any one charitable entity. We don't have a culture of giving here in New England, because as many of my clients will oftentimes tell me, Mark, my kids are my charity. That's my charity. And if I've got money left over, I've worked hard. I came from a family where we didn't have much as I was growing up, or my grandparents didn't have much. Yes, we've been able to build up something, and I want to be sure that I can live a successful life in retirement. But when all is said and done, I want to make sure that my kids can continue to perpetuate that kind of lifestyle, or even better. And I'm leaving my money to my kids. Yeah, maybe I'll leave a couple $1,000 to my church or my temple or to Dana-Farber or whomever. But what we're finding is that the wealthy, the super wealthy, like to leave a portion of their legacy to charity simply because they can get a big tax deduction. Frankly, you and I, or most people, don't get much of a tax deduction anymore by giving to charity unless you're giving large amounts. Because of the new standard deduction that was incorporated a couple of years ago, you're already getting, as a married couple, a $24,000 deduction. So unless your charitable contributions are significant, it's going to be tough to do that, because you know you're limited. First, the way the deductions work here in America, state and local taxes, the SALT allocation, state and local taxes, if I don't care if you pay $30,000 in state taxes, you're limited of state and local taxes to $10,000. That's it. And then you have property tax and maybe mortgage interest, etc. That's limited to $10,000. $12,000. It's minimal, because many of you are paying more than that. So where does that leave room for charitable contributions? There's not much room for you to get deductions there anymore. You have to be thoughtful and careful. Maybe you make large contributions once every 5 years so you can benefit from it. Well, who can benefit from that? Well, the wealthy certainly can. But I also find fascinating, do you know who else contributes a large percentage of their income to charity? The poorest people in America. Yeah. The poor contribute on a percentage basis more money to charity than you and I do. I think that's rather remarkable. They're willing to live on less so that somebody can live better. Yet we're not willing to live on less because we want to make sure our children in the future live better. It's kind of interesting. And just something food for thought for you. So I go back to the story in Georgia. She was fascinated by our attitude about what charitable giving meant. And I think it's interesting. I think we talk about random acts of kindness. Random acts of kindness is something I think that we try to do every day. That doesn't cost us anything. Like the radio station here had Toys for Tots, or they gave money to Toys for Tots through the holiday drive that they did here. And you bought an unwrapped toy and you provided that. All nice stuff, don't get me wrong. But when you really add up all of your charitable giving, what does it really say about your willingness to support charity? I'm not trying to judge anybody. I'm just saying it's a totally different perspective from what the folks in the South might see than what we see here. It also begins to become another aha moment for me when we think about our political perspective or our economic perspective on what's going on in the world. Look, we believe that, look, I don't know if you know what the minimum wage is here in Massachusetts. What is it, $11 an hour, $12 an hour, something like that? In, you know, in Georgia, in the South, it's still $7.25 an hour. And they don't think anything of it. I mean, we're almost twice what it is down in the South. When we think about our political perspectives or the fact that, you know, you might be making $150,000 or $200,000 as a household. And you might think to yourself, oh my God, I just don't know where the money goes. It's just gone, and I don't feel like I'm spending that much. We make, I think, a decent income, but we don't just know where the money goes. Yet, you go down the South, and the average income down there might be, household income might be $60,000 or $70,000. And not only are they trying to figure out ways to manage, but they're giving it charity. Yeah, they're building up some credit card debt. It's just a whole different world. It is, every place you go in this country has a different perspective on economics, on politics, on how you handle a Saturday night. I mean, we're so comfortable going out to eat and going for takeout and getting, you know, Uber Eats and all sorts of stuff delivered, where many other parts of the country would have potlucks every night if they could. But we're all part of America. So should we believe the way we do things is the only way for America? No, and that's why we have so many different perspectives and different views. And it's our job as American citizens to honor the fact that everybody has different perspectives, and it's what makes this country great. It's what makes us an amazing country that we have all of that with us. Well, as we head into the year end, as we head into just a few more weeks left, I want to offer up a couple other ideas for year end planning. I know we just talked about charitable contributions. I want you to really think about the charitable contributions that you want to make. And if it's time to make some, if it's something that you were saying, you know, my temple, my church is having a capital campaign or some type of a fundraising event. And you say, you know what? I want to make a pledge to my church or my temple. And let's say you want to do it. You want to make a pledge of $5,000 over the next 5 years. Well, that's $1,000 a year. I'd ask you to consider. Now, I know from a cash flow standpoint, you might say $1,000 works better for me each year, but if you want to get a personal benefit for it, it might make sense to give $5,000 in 1 year rather than $1,000 over 5 years, because you may be better off, you may be eligible to get a deduction by putting in a $5,000 deduction this year rather than doing $1,000 over 5 years. Think about it, explore it with your tax professional, see if that makes sense. The other thing to look at is losses. Harvesting your losses. Now, we've had a pretty good run here in the market. Chances are, you may not have many losses to harvest, but if you've been in some portfolios where there were big capital gain distributions, I would encourage you to take a look at what the cost basis, not what you invested. Maybe you invested $10,000 in a fund and it's worth $15 today, and you might think, well, I got a $5,000 capital gain. But if over the past few years, it's paid distributions of $2,000 a year for the past 3 years, like dividends, that would mean your cost basis is actually $16,000 with a value of $15,000. And if you sold it, you have a $1,000 loss. I know that sounds weird. I know that sounds really weird. But I'd encourage you to take a look. Offset losses with gains. Be sure you take a look. At Friedman Financial, we do this all the time. We're doing this all through the month of November, all through the month of December. That's what we do. That's part of financial advice in a language you can understand for our clients. But you, if you want to do this on your own, if you want to invest money on your own, it's prudent upon you to take a look at your portfolio, to manage it properly, to examine the gains and losses, and understand what cost basis is versus just a plain gain and loss from the time you invested your money. This happens when you own investment, when you own mutual funds. You should really take a look at that. I really encourage you to do so. All right, we got to take a quick break. When we get back, I want to talk to you a few more year-end tax planning ideas and then talk about this thing called the Secure Act, setting every community up for retirement enhancement. It's coming to your house January 1st. Are you ready? We'll be right back. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.
Since 1989, more than a million New Englanders have come to Bill Haney's North Shore Music Theater to listen for those two wonderful words that mean Christmas is here.
Bah, humbug.
Join Ebenezer Scrooge, Tiny Tim, and the area's largest cast of actors, singers, and revelers for the 29th annual production of A Christmas Carol. In this lavish musical adaptation of the Charles Dickens classic, you'll see Victorian England come to vibrant life accompanied by a live orchestra and a dazzling array of ghostly special effects. See the show the Boston Globe has called flawless and spellbinding for all ages. North Shore Music Theater's production of A Christmas Carol plays from December 6th through the 22nd only. Get your tickets today at nsmt.org. Sponsored by Market Street Linfield.
Welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. My name is Mark Friedman, President and CEO of Friedman Financial, located in Peabody, Massachusetts. We've been there for 52, 53 years, a long time. All around, located always around like the elbow of the North Shore Mall. We've been at a few different locations around the North Shore Mall, but now we are at our current home. We're there for at least 8 more years, just above Alto Forno Restaurant on 41 Cross Street. If you've been to Long's Jewelers, we're the next building after it. It's that brand new white building. And many people ask, what's going on in the white building behind it that's now called Alto Suites? What's going on back there? Well, it still remains a mystery to me exactly what it's going to be, but people are living in it now. There are residences, there are some apartments in there, and there's actually going to be hotel rooms too. So if you just want a single night stay, there's some places there as well. The rooftop, I understand, is going to be an extension of Alto Forno where they can do some outdoor rooftop dining. I understand the room up there is beautiful for private parties and for, there's a beautiful kitchen up there. Not for this year, I was told. After the first of the year, they'll start making it available. So something to consider. I mean, talk to the folks at Alto, talk to Danny and Danielle Mamola. They'll fill you in on what's really going on over there. Three great restaurants that they own. Daniela's, of course, in Danvers. Alto Forno in Peabody. And, of course, their flagship steakhouse restaurant, Palana, located next to where IHOP used to be. Now, most people don't remember IHOP, but I mean, that's where I used to go every Sunday, didn't you? Saturdays and Sundays, I went to IHOP, sat there on the benches waiting for myself to be called. And if it was too busy at IHOP, where did you go on a Saturday or Sunday? Oh, you went around the corner to Denny's. Because Denny's was there too, and you could get your Rudy Tooty Fresh and Fruity over at IHOP. Well, you could. I mean, you could get the Rudy Tooty Fresh and Fruity over there, and if you wanted chicken fried steak and grits, you could get that over at Denny's. Or a Grand Slam breakfast. Remember that? The Grand Slam breakfast over at Denny's. I was actually a waiter there my junior and senior year of high school. I enjoyed it quite a bit. It was a nice time there. Actually, Saturdays and Sundays were great. I'm very, very busy. Anyways, we are here to provide you with financial advice in a language you can understand. We do it each and every Sunday from 8 to 9 a.m. If you like what you hear on the radio and you want to get a little bit more of it, a little taste of more financial advice, I encourage you to go to my website, friedmanfinancial.com, and sign up for our free weekly newsletter. We've been putting this newsletter out since March of 2009. Hard to believe it's been that long. This now starts year 11. We'll be doing this. All you got to do is go to the bottom of the page, every place. Just put in your name, your email address. And if you want to leave me a little message, you want to say hi, you want to ask me a question, you want to sign up for a free initial consultation, you want to ask anything. Maybe there's something you heard on the radio that you liked or didn't like. That's the place to voice it. You can always call me, of course, too. Just hit the button, and starting this Friday, you will start to get our newsletter. More than 7,000 subscribers sign up for Planning Pointers, and it's great little tidbits of information. Much of what I share here, frankly, on the radio is stuff that I use in my newsletter on the following week. So here we are towards the end of the year, and we're talking about year-end tax planning. And so I want to give you a few other things to think about with just a week or two left in the year. We talked about making sure that you... that you maxed out your 401k plan, that you did some of that, that you really thought through your charitable contributions. Is that something that you want to stretch over a number of years or maybe make some larger charitable contributions this in a particular year because you're not getting the full benefit of charitable contributions like you did before? Another thing you might want to do is if you're offered a health savings account, an HSA as it's called through work, you have the opportunity to put money aside on a pre-tax basis. And that money goes into an account that you can use to help pay for healthcare costs so that when it comes out tax-free. You don't pay money on this account. It's usually posted on a debit card. I know I have one. But you can put in, as an individual, $3,500 into an HSA. If you're entitled to a family plan or you have the ability to do that, you can put in up to $7,000 for a family in 2019. So if you were getting a bonus this year and you thought, you know I've got to, I want to save some of my bonus, but maybe one place to allocate a part of your bonus is to your HSA and you want it to pay tax on it. It's a kind of like putting money into a 401k where it's pre-tax as well. Another thing you might want to think about if you're over the age of 70 and a half, or if you are 70 and a half this year, that you've fully taken the distribution that's required from your IRA. Did you calculate it properly? Did you take the full amount? Because what you miss, if you underdraw on your account, if you don't take enough, did you know that there's a 50% tax penalty? 50, not 15. 50% tax penalty if you don't take that money out. Yikes. So let's run this scenario. Let's say you turned 70 and a half this year. You turned 70 and a half in June. And at the beginning of 2019, your IRA was worth $100,000. And it's basically the requirement that you have to take is based upon that January 1st value. So it's actually the December 31st value. It's pretty much the same thing. Let's say it's $100,000. You have to take out, I think the number this year is 3.65%. So on $100,000, that's $3,650. You have to take that out between January 1st and the end of the year. You don't have to wait until you're 70 and a half. You can take it out anytime you want. You could have taken out in, I don't know, $300 increments if you want. But you have to make sure it's all taken before the end of the year. Now remember, that distribution, that amount that you take out is fully taxable to you. So are you having proper tax withholding done because it's going to report on your tax return is additional taxable income? At Friedman Financial, when we do required minimum distributions for our clients, we handle the tax withholding for you. In fact, we send out, get this, it blows me away how much money it is, $1.2 million every month in distributions to our clients. That comes out to close to $15 million. It's a lot of money over the course of the year of money that people are taking from their accounts. They're relying on us to make sure that the check gets direct deposited into their bank and that we're withholding the proper taxes. We've been doing that for a long time, and Sonia, who's been in my office for 12 years, is responsible for managing all of our distributions. And I can tell you, she's never missed one. She takes great pride in managing the distributions in the office and hitting just a zero rate of problems in the office. And our clients are thrilled because they know it gets done properly. Don't find yourself in a situation where you haven't taken the proper distribution from your IRA. A couple other things. Let's talk about your W-2. Are you having proper tax withholdings done on your paycheck? I want you to think back last year when you did your taxes. Many people were a little angry when they realized that they owed taxes rather than having to pay taxes last year. And they wanted to blame it on the president. They wanted to blame, well, everybody blames everything on the president these days. But what it really was is because of the new tax law, the withholdings that were being done from your pay stub were a little bit different. You probably didn't notice it, but every week you were getting a little bit more to take home because less was getting taken out of your pay. But perhaps you need to adjust that even further on your tax withholdings. I want to remind you that now is a great time to start thinking about managing your tax withholdings for 2020. It's an opportunity to sit down with your accountant. It's also an opportunity to sit down with your human resources department to think about what should those proper withholdings be? And then ask yourself, when it comes time to file my taxes in March or in April, do I want a big refund? Do I want to owe money or do I want to come out even? My advice is that giving the government an interest-free loan is not something that's in your best interest. I would rather you come really close. I'd rather you
maybe owe a couple hundred dollars or have to pay a, or have to get a couple hundred dollar refund. Let's keep it pretty tight. Let's make sure that the withholdings are done properly over the course of a whole year rather than you getting that big surprise from your accountant saying, oh my goodness, you got to write a check for $4,400. You don't want those kind of surprises. You don't want that coming your way. So those are some year-end tax planning ideas that I want you to consider for the year. You know, if now is the time, you might be thinking to yourself, also year-end, it's time to do some New Year's resolution thinking. And now might be the year where maybe you want to get a second opinion. Maybe you want to move from an investment-only relationship to a financial planning relationship with a professional. Maybe you want to make sure that there's someone who understands your overall financial situation, because maybe your spouse has no interest. And if something were to happen to you, what would happen? Folks, at Friedman Financial, we've been doing this for 52 years. Unfortunately, we average 1.5 deaths a month. Not that we have a half a death, but you get it. There's 18 deaths or so a year that we have in our office. And I can tell you, you'll never say you've seen it all, but we've seen a lot. In fact, just this month, we had a client of ours go in for a simple procedure at the hospital in her early 70s and didn't come out, died. In another instance, there's someone who had gone into a nursing home, had been doing just fine, had been there for 3 years actually in a nursing home, took a turn for the worse, died. And that surprise, you know, that comes as a surprise to a lot of people. It's nice if you can prepare yourself for it. But when you can't, where do you turn? Who will you call? What happens? What will you do? Will your kids know what to do? Will your spouse know what to do? At Friedman Financial, we know what to do. And we're oftentimes the first call that people make when a loved one has passed away. And that's often because they know that there's finally one place where people know where everything is and what everything is worth. We know beyond what's held in the investment accounts at our office. We know that you might have a couple accounts at Salem 5 and another at Ipswich Savings or another one at North Shore Bank. We know that you might also have a bunch of credit cards or student loans or a mortgage and a home equity loan. That you might have a deed that's listed different one way in your property in Maine and another property here in Gloucester. We know what the beneficiaries are or who the beneficiaries are on your retirement accounts. We know whether you'll have to deal with probate. We'll know what the rules are around your trust, if you have one. And we'll also know what to say to the funeral home when it's time to have that conversation. We'll know how to communicate with Social Security. We'll know how to change the registration on your accounts to make sure that everything is handled properly. And we'll also be that voice when you need us to be, to talk in a language that everyone can understand between you and perhaps your estate planning attorney. We do this regularly, and it's part of the services that we offer to our clients at Friedman Financial. We will go through several changes in our life, several phases in our life, from education to getting married, to having children, to buying our first home, to having our job, first, second, third, fourth job, to retiring, to living alone, and then ultimately passing away. Friedman Financial, at Friedman Financial, we see every phase of that experience. And we have 53 years of experience having those conversations with people from all walks of life. If now's the time for you to get serious about your financial planning needs, if now's the time for you to say, you know what, I need a second opinion. I want to talk to somebody so that my retirement is positioned in a way that I can live life in the way that I want without worrying about but juggling a whole bunch of balls in the air. Give our office a call, 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. We're available in our office to schedule appointments in January. If you call today, Jody's not there, of course. It's Sunday. Leave your message. She'll call you back. We'll reach out to you. We'll see when we can get you in our calendar. In the meantime, if you want to receive our free weekly newsletter, it's called Planning Pointers. Go to my website, friedmanfinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com. Put in your name, your email address, and we'll get you signed up for our free weekly newsletter that lands in your inbox every Friday at 10:30. If you want to get a simple overview of what to expect with a relationship at Friedman Financial, Also, go to the website, FriedmanFinancial.com. Hit the tab that says New Client Information. There's a tab there that walks you through a really easy-to-follow illustration on how you can get to know who we are, how we work with you, and how we can make your experience living in retirement the way that you want to make it. All right, when we get back, I want to talk to you about this report. It's not a report. It's a new law that's actually going to go into effect starting the first of the year, assuming the president signs it. And all indications point that both Congress, Senate, and the president are going to sign it because everybody, can you believe it, is in the holiday spirit and everybody is in agreement on this one. It's called the Secure Act, setting every community up for retirement enhancement. And it's going to impact you. That's right. It's going to impact your life, how you handle retirement accounts, how you think about 529s, how you think about 401ks. It's going to change things. All for the better, I think. But you need to be prepared for it. And we're going to give you that and so much more when we get back. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. Hi, this is Mark Friedman, president of Friedman Financial in Peabody. For more than 50 years, Friedman Financial has provided financial advice in a language you can understand to individuals and families all throughout the North Shore. At Friedman Financial, we know that planning for your retirement is overwhelming. Don't leave this important decision to chance, or even worse, the algorithms of a faceless technology solution. Our certified financial planner professionals meet with you face-to-face to know you and your retirement goals. If now's the time to get serious about your retirement, meet with a certified financial planner at Friedman Financial in person. You deserve a strategy that incorporates every aspect of your retirement plan. To learn more, give us a call at 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. Or visit us at FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com. Friedman Financial, financial advice in a language you can understand.
Securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advice offered through Friedman Financial, a registered investment advisor and separate entity from LPL Financial.
Welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. My name is Mark Friedman. I'm president and CEO of Friedman Financial, located in Peabody, Massachusetts. You know where? Just above Alto Forno Restaurant, where we get to smell the fragrances coming from a northern Italian restaurant each and every day. Actually, I got to be honest, it really doesn't come waffling up into our office. We do smell it from the outside, of course. Food is fabulous downstairs, but we are up on the second floor. Our office hours, 8:30 to 5. You're welcome to swing by anytime you'd like, but frankly, I'd prefer you'd have an appointment if you swung by. But we'd love to meet with you. Thank you for tuning in to Dollars and Cents. We've been doing this for almost 8 years here at the radio station. We've gotten to meet many, many, many of our listeners. I get emails. I get phone calls. I get stopped in the street. I was at the Apple Store. I was at the Apple Store a week ago, and I'm buying my son an iPhone, and I hand the guy my credit card, and he sees the last name Friedman, and he just thinks nothing of it, but he goes to type in my information, and he types it in F-R-I-E-D. I said, no, that's Friedman, two E's and a D, oops. And he says, wait a second, do you have a radio show? I said, yes, as a matter of fact, you're that guy, aren't you? I guess I'm that guy. So you never know. And then as I'm talking, he goes, oh my God, now I recognize the voice. So yeah, it's been very interesting. You begin to develop a brand and a positioning here in the community. And frankly, it's what my father started in 1968, where we wanted to build a community-based financial planning and investment management firm. 90% of our clients either live within or had roots here on the North Shore in the Merrimack Valley. That's what we do. I mean, our clients come to our office. I don't go to you. I want you to come to our office. I want you to be able to see how we do stuff. I don't want it to be a smoke and mirrors kind of experience where you just get to know us through the internet or through the phone or through what I tell you, you know, what I tell you over the phone. No, come in, check us out, kick the tires, understand who we are and see the sincerity that really breeds through every person that works in our office. I'd love to meet with you. If now's the time for you to get serious about your financial planning, give our office a call, 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. Tonight starts the first night of Hanukkah, and Christmas Eve is just a couple months, couple days later to follow. Christmas Day on Wednesday, all the kids are home. Christmas break is going to be one of the longest ones we've had this year because of the way Christmas and New Year's are positioned. So I hope you've got plans. You know, one of the plans that I have that I'm pretty excited about, and I hope it's going to work out. Sunday, December 29th. I got tickets to see the Portland Red Claws. That's the G League team of the developmental league team of the Celtics. And it's the team where Taco Fall and all these others, all the other new rookies play up in Portland. And so we have tickets to go on that Sunday. I'm hoping that Taco and those are playing because we have awesome seats. I'm like fourth row from the court. I mean, it's like a gymnasium where they play in, I think. But because he's a two-way player, a lot of these guys are two-way players, you never know. They could be playing down here in Boston that weekend. It's what you get, but I'm hoping it all works out. So I'm looking forward to that. Anyways, I wanted to tell you about this new rule, this new law that is set to pass. It's called the Secure Act. It's going to impact your 401ks, and it's going to impact your IRAs and more. So this is not passed yet, but is likely to pass before the end of the year because there is just unanimous support, believe it or not. Hard to believe. Both Congress, the Senate, and the President are all in agreement on this one. It's going to pass its first major piece of retirement legislation in a decade this week. The vote is tied to a spending bill needed to keep the government open, which Congress is endeavoring to pass before it leaves town for the holidays. That means a spate of changes for retirees related to their minimum withdrawals, the way they use IRAs, and rethinking estate planning options. It's called the Secure Act, which is an acronym for Setting Every Community Up for Retirement Enhancement. It's been in the works for about 3 years or so. And like I said, bipartisan support. But it's been stalled for the longest time. And suddenly, it got thrown into this spending bill, and it's likely to pass. So what does it mean for you? Well, here's a couple things. First one that I think is most significant is the reality that many people are working longer than expected. Just because we're feeling healthier. It's not because we want to. It's not because we have to in some cases. It's because we want to. We're feeling better. We don't feel like retiring at 65. 65 doesn't feel old anymore, nor does 70 or even 75. But the rules around our distributions on our retirement accounts says that when you hit 70 and a half, you're no longer eligible to save into an IRA anymore. And you have to start taking distributions from your 401k and your retirement accounts. Well, the government has said, well, maybe we need to adjust that a little bit. What if starting in 2020, required minimum distributions started at age 72 instead of 70 and a half? In fact, the Senate was proposing an option where it said, let's not started until 75. But it looks like 72 is going to be the number that's going to go through. So now, here's what happens. For those of you that are already taking your minimum distributions, you'll continue to take them. But if you're turning 70 and a half in 2020, you can still take money from your IRA, but you may not be required to. You may be able to reprieve it until age 72. Now, a lot of the details still have yet to be worked out. A lot of that figuring has to happen. And someone say, well, why would you do that? Why would they do that? Someone says, oh, it's an opportunity to benefit the rich again. Because the rich are the ones that have all of this money in retirement accounts, and they get to defer having to pay tax on this money for another couple years. Well, I guess that's true, but when we talk about the rich folks, it is such a small sliver of a percentage of people that they're not, you and I are all impacted by this. Most people need to take money from their IRA. And in fact, most people actually start taking distributions from their IRA long before age 70 and a half. But one of the stipulations in here might be to address that argument. It says if you are an individual who has an IRA under $100,000, perhaps you would be exempt from ever having to take money out of your IRA until it exceeds that amount. So, hey, if you don't need to, you don't have to pay tax on it, that's another way to defer as well. So that's something that's likely to happen. But the other is something that puts a challenge out, if you will, to the rich. And it's a strategy that the wealthy have used for a number of years. And if you watch Channel 2, and you've heard the name Ed Slott is like the retirement genius. He talks about all sorts of strategies, ways to defer taxes, and it's especially geared for the wealthy. Well, if I don't know if you understand this, but if you have an IRA or a retirement account, and you die and you've named your spouse as the beneficiary, your spouse can take money out as needed, but oftentimes can continue taking out the required minimum distribution that was necessary from your IRA, but is not forced to withdraw the whole thing. When you leave the money then to your children, your child can continue just taking out a minimum distribution based upon a calculation through the uniform table through the IRS that allows you to take a small amount out, but really never touch the big corpus of it. It was referred to as what's called a stretch IRA. So you're allowed to go maybe generations, decades without having to pay tax on all this money. Well, this new SECURE Act is going to change things. And it's going to change things that's going to be pretty dramatic. What it's going to say is that when you leave your money to your spouse can continue to just take the income as necessary, defer the IRA for as long as she can or he can. But when you leave it to your spouse, to your child, or to a trust, or to anybody else that is not a spouse, that person will be required to liquidate that entire IRA account within 10 years. Huh. Well, what if you left $1 million to your son in an IRA? Chances are, let's say you were, 75 years old and you left $1 million in an IRA to your son. Your son could have continued to take a minimum distribution payment, maybe it was $3,000 or $4,000 out a year from that account, or actually $30,000 or $40,000, that would be the 3 or 4% from the account, but leaving $1 million, leave it alone. Now the government is saying, it's not going to work anymore. You need to distribute that account within 10 years. Maybe you divide it by saying, I'm taking $100,000 every year. Maybe you just want to take out a minimum distribution for a few years and then take out big chunks towards the end. Nevertheless, you're going to pay taxes on this. And big tax is going to push you into a higher tax bracket. Remember that conversation years ago where it said you're likely to be in a lower income tax bracket in retirement than you are today? That's not going to be the case for a bunch of folks. Is this a good thing or a bad thing? Well, folks that say we need to figure out a way to raise more tax money to support our government endeavors, this is a great program because there's going to be a lot of tax money that's going to run through here. But some people are going to say, well, I don't want to have to pay tax on this. It's an argument. But these are possibilities. These are compromises that Congress has made that are likely to happen in 2020. You're going to hear a lot more about this. Another provision that's going to come through this, and I'm not a big fan of it, but you're going to be able to raid your retirement plan for up to $5,000 to pay for the birth of a child or for an adoption. I don't know that that's the right way to do that for something to do. There's a lot of little provisions that are in here as well, but I want to get into more of them. But frankly, we're out of time, as I've been told. But you're going to hear a lot more about the SECURE Act in the months and the weeks to come. I wanted to give you a little preview, a little hint, a little entree of what's coming. It's going to impact all of our lives. It's the reason why you need to connect with a certified financial planner to make sure that you're doing the very best you can to set your financial planning goals and put you on a path for success. I've got to get out of here. It's been a pleasure. Hope you have a wonderful Christmas, a wonderful Hanukkah, Happy New Year, and I will see you again next Sunday. Have a great day. My name is Mark Friedman. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.
Thanks for tuning into Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial. During the show, specific investments may have been discussed. These discussions are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations. Please consult a certified financial planner, tax professional, or attorney to determine what is appropriate for you. Consider your investment objectives, risk, charges, and expenses of an investment company before investing. That's because investing involves risk, including a loss of principal. A prospectus contains this and other information about mutual funds, variable annuities, and variable annuity subaccounts. Prospectuses should be read carefully before making an investment. Securities are offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. Investment and financial planning advice is offered through Mark's firm, Friedman Financial, which is a registered investment advisor and a separate entity from LPL. Thanks again for tuning in. See you next Sunday at 8 a.m.
The prior show was a paid program that does not express the views, opinions, or beliefs of North Shore 104.9, the station management, its employees, or staff.